Okay, hi friends, and this is a jungle of electronics around here, and there's better people they could have given it to, but such it is as it is. And I just want to say that we do apologize. Yesterday there was going to be a little webinar on the joy of the Christmas spirit in general, and since I was sick and I'm just only now recovering, and for a few other reasons, that was overlooked. So we decided we'd spend this afternoon in this webinar talking about a few things that we may have missed as we went along. It's a discussion, basically. And when you have thoughts about it, then you are perfectly free to raise your hand. You know, I just want to say hi to Andrea and Antoinette and Athena. Hi, Athena. And Beverly, Catherine, and Dennis, and Duong, Frida, and Gloria. Okay, nice to see you. I'm used to Regina, but okay, Gloria. Hi. Heike, Joanne, I don't know, maybe this is wrong, Joanne. Anyway, Yohi Lee, Julie, hi, Julie. And Leslie, and Louise, and Mary, and Myrna, Nienke, Sarah, Jolene, and Thubui, Thikim, forgive my pronunciation, Tia, hi, and Veronica, hi. And we're being backed up here by BL and Michael. We will have a sufficient product for you. I've made some errors and some things have not exactly been recorded, because when you don't press the record button, generally it doesn't record. But I've recovered from that particular lapse of attention, and now I'm pressing all the buttons at the same time, so something will happen. I just want to say a little bit about telepathy. It's a wonderful little book. It applied to the very first group that Tibetan organized, because it was the group which was registering the divine plan. And it had in it Alice Bailey and Foster Bailey and the ones that were closest to Alice and in a way had the most experience of those who were gathered in the Lucis Trust. Okay. It's always wonderful when credit cards arrive in the mail. Especially when you're thousands of miles away from the source. Okay. So that book is a series of instructions to this telepathic group. Now, there's just so many things to learn about the etheric body in relation to telepathy, but I'll only say this, that according to the degree of refinement and purity and energization of our chakra system, so will be the types of energies that we are subject to or sensitive to. Excuse my, you know, as I say, I'm recovering from laryngitis. Some draft from the window, I believe. So look, you know, here was a man who had his solar plexus 75% open, but his Ajna center was only 15% open, and his heart center was 40% open. So what kind of energies, what kind of planes is he going to really respond to and receive and give telepathically on those levels? See, not all telepathy is mental telepathy. There is emotional telepathy. And as DK says, maybe between a mother and her children, or even if we go to the animal kingdom, we see that kind of awareness in the mother animal in relation to her, the young ones, whatever they happen to be. So what you receive and what you give will depend a lot on what your focus may be. Now, what does that say about us who are striving towards soul telepathy? It can't just be emotional, can it? And it can't just be concrete-minded, can it? Not really. It has to be the soul-infused mind, and it has to be the ability to contemplate. And for the higher types of beings who focus in the spiritual triad, then they will achieve buddhic and atmic telepathy. We're lucky if we receive a few impressions from those realms. But when we really stabilize in those realms, we're able to send and to receive. You know, we have a very cramped and somewhat confined idea of what telepathy is. And it's an exchange of energy on specific levels. Now, that makes you ask, so where am I focused? And increasingly, it cannot be Kama Manas. It cannot be feelings which you cannot distinguish from your thoughts. You really have to separate those things out. Now, a lot of experiments in telepathy are done simply on the concrete mind level, and that's okay. But for students of our nature who want to understand what the divine plan is, we need, and let's see if I can find this, because Keith Bailey made a compendium, which is very useful, and all I have to do is find it, you know? So let's see. And here, I'll show you what I mean. All I have to do is find it. Okay. So let's see. Okay. So if I want to go along here, this is the one. This is that composite chart which he prepared for the Ancient Universal Mysteries Group. And here are all the different levels on which telepathy can occur. But notice that on the very highest level of the mental plane, which is in the higher mind and is on the same level as the lowest part of the spiritual triad, meaning the manasic permanent atom. You know, you have your mental unit, right? That's your normally your concrete mind. It's down over here, this red circle. But then you also have your manasic permanent atom. And the kind of telepathy that we're interested in, which reveals the divine plan, begins there. And the more we build the antikarana, which would be the line of light between these two circles, the more successful we will be entering these higher worlds where the masters and high initiates can be found focused. Now, we don't do that ordinarily. Ordinarily, we just may receive every now and then some kind of impression from those higher worlds, and it's not so common. But one day, like the masters, that will be the place where we focus, and a special effort will have to be made even to get down into the lower levels. So right now, telepathy is not so much of a personal thing. If we do it right, it's to advance the plan. Telepathy, spiritual telepathy, notice he says spiritual telepathy, because it's the first level of the spiritual triad, is to advance the plan. And then come the higher powers altogether, which we can communicate to each other, you see. And we're really not there yet, but we can receive them vertically from those who are there. And sometimes you get a really wonderful idea, a big idea. It's not just a thought, not just a thought form. It comes from the level of intuition. Okay, it descends from the Buddhic plane to the abstract mental plane and into your mind, your normally useful mind. So I would say we have to read that book. It's a wonderful book. I'd like to start making a little bit of commentary on that book the way I am with making commentary on the Glamour book. As for esoteric healing, I leave that to the to the medical people. It's too big. One can't undertake everything. Okay. So the idea is build the antikarana, find a way to become soul infused, refine your vehicles, and automatically thereby refine your chakra system, and automatically refine your causal body, and then higher and higher forms of communication and exchange will be yours. There's no high telepathy without refinement. Now, look what the new group of world servers is doing as it communicates, you know, out of the brow to each other. The masters just have television, you know. as DK used to say, the television of the masters, okay? I'm not worried about words so much. We're the ones who are stuck in the words. So we communicate, the servers communicate ideas in the psychological group particularly. And people pick up those ideas. And further, the servers explain the ideas. They are passing light from place to place. And in the process, human beings are becoming more illumined. And of course, the triangles helps very much this to be the case. So I want to keep it really simple until we get into it, you know, and go page by page if possible, which I think it is. Now remember, why am I emphasizing this? Sorry. 5 years remain. 5 years and less than 5 and a half before the Great Conclave. Now, don't you think that before DK gives the new writing, it would be awfully wise to assimilate as much of his 30 years of writing as possible? I think you would be very smart, and I think that it will help you and I and all who do it to pick up the new teaching in a more understandable and accurate, reliable manner. Look, we may love the Bailey teaching. We've been with it for years, some of us. But some people coming into it for the first time, just, what is this? They just have to throw up their hands because it's such a deeper form of esotericism. Who knows what he's going to talk about in 2025? It will have a lot of first ray, I'm pretty sure. Okay. So that really, I don't want to say too much more about that. It was a subject we were supposed to have. You can practice it. Groups get together and practice their telepathy. We had a group back 40 years ago. And the leader of the group was really good. You know, the rest of us, we would be choosing a word that was being sent forth, and DK would give a list of words. The leader got it just about every time. And the rest of us are kind of, you know, was it this, was it that? Because they felt it, okay? Now, are there any questions about this subject? The refinement of the etheric vehicle is very important, but there is emotional telepathy, mental telepathy, higher mental telepathy, intuitional telepathy, and even the telepathy of will. Imagine you're sitting there and you don't feel especially strong as a disciple. And then all of a sudden, something comes over you. What is that? And suddenly, you have power. Where'd you get that? Did you generate it? Was it sent to you? Etc. Now, make sure you speak up strongly when you talk, because our microphone arrangement is such that you must.
Any guidelines on how to differentiate between when it's a thought form versus really the soul talking?
Well,
until you get feelings, and then you have an idea, and then you second guess. And
what you're asking is how to differentiate between a concrete thought, a higher thought, and the true idea. And I just say, we have to study what each one can really do. A concrete thought deals with concrete things. Then there is the telepathy. Okay, and I have to change here. Then there's the telepathy of the abstract mind, where great concepts are conveyed, and not just sort of a indication about things, concrete things. And then there is intuitive telepathy, where the principle of pure reason and love wisdom and harmonious interconnectedness are revealed in what is passed from person to person, or from group to group. See, I mean, Alice Bailey was a good one. She developed when she was a Chela in the light, long time ago. She was passing through the second phase of discipleship. And you read it in the six stages of discipleship. And Master DK was her higher or guiding disciple on the inner planes, making a report to Master KH, or whatever he was at the time. They practiced. So they had an interchange in that second phase of discipleship. So you just go through your six-stage training, and you will find that what DK says is accurate. All people are naturally telepathic. We just get in our own way, and we don't believe it. So we learn how to be sensitive by defining for ourselves what is intuition, what is higher mind, what is concrete mind. If we don't define those things, then our manner of telepathy is going to be confused.
And writing poetry or writing be a way of accessing that?
I think that it has a way of drawing upon the intuition. One of the most poetic signs of the zodiac is one of the most intuitive, and it's Pisces. And in general, the water signs have that kind of connection. Then it all depends on what kind of poetry one is writing. Now, the artist in the future will not just say, oh, I feel this in my solar plexus, so let me throw it down on the painting. Or let me make a song that expresses it, or, you know what I mean? He says, the artist of the future, fourth ray, intuitive alignment. Just like meditation. In fact, meditation, the urge to the creative life, it's called, and it requires occult meditation for the artist of the future, not just a personal reaction which you express. It's an alignment. So, pay attention. I talk to myself and you. Pay attention to your refinement. Pay attention to your alignment. And persist in your approach from the lower worlds to the higher worlds, just as we have been instructed to do. Okay? we're trying to, and I'll tell you what, I have an order for everybody in this group. Don't get sick. Think you can handle that? Otherwise, who knows what we're going to do. I remember one of the very first PhD classes back in 1994. There was a man, wonderful man, he had the power of pervasion. Every time he coughed, it covered every angle of the room. So you could not help but be included in this general miasma. The whole class got wiped out. You see them crawling in toward the end, you know. And then we went and had a opening of the International Academy of Esoteric Astrology in a place called Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. And then all of us got sick. So try to neutralize the potency of your germs. And of course, I'm the worst, so I just... Okay, are there any questions? Any thoughts? And this includes, of course, the attendees who are out there. And if you have any thoughts or questions, you can write them down under the question mark. You can talk, and if you speak slowly, distinctly, and at a reasonable volume, we might hear you. So, anybody? Tuya, did you want to add anything to? Tuya's been getting by on about an hour and a half, of sleep every night. So there's not much left, but we trust that it will last a little while. Okay. That's the great thing about getting together. The is that you, Elena?
Yeah.
Well, okay, now hold on, just one moment while I change you.
That microphone, so speak up, and I know you're capable. Okay,
what,
go ahead.
Yeah, David, pick me up from here.
If you talk loudly.
No, yes. I have a question.
Louder.
Which of the eyes, and we have a number of them, would be particularly involved in telepathy? And if all the eyes would be involved, they would have to be involved with different levels of telepathy.
Yes, if all of them were involved at the same time.
Yeah.
You would have synthetic telepathy. And remember that our mental body seems to have levels. It must not eventually have those levels. You're supposed to be able to go from top to bottom, bottom to top, in a seamless manner.
Without
the hitches, you know how it is. A new driver of a car. You know what I mean? At first, you may have an automatic shift, no problem. But you get into a car that has a manual shift, and the person is new to shifting gears. And then you get, every time you shift, you get a lurch, something is not smooth, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing when you sing. What you, if you're not a professional singer, you probably don't realize that the voice has several registers. And one of the arts of correct vocalism is to smooth the transition between the registers, chest voice, middle voice, high voice, you know, that kind of thing. Otherwise, you know what I mean? You get that bump because it's not smooth. But smoothness is possible if you practice it. So, you know, the left eye, you generally consider it to be a mental reception, the right eye more intuitive, the middle eye more synthetic. You know, and then there's the eye of the soul somewhere up here with the head center in an undisclosed place, and still more is revealed. Some eyes will even reveal the monad. You know, they will go high. So, but he, you know, about all the head center stuff, he says, look, it's extremely esoteric. I don't get into it. And he was being asked by Roberto Assagioli, who was, a real earnest student of occultism and an initiate of some kind. So we're going to have to wait a little bit before the definition there. But all I can try to say to every student of occultism, make two into one. Simple as that. Make two into one. That is successful contemplation. Make two into one. And we have a group that we're trying to do that. And it's not just saying, two are one. It's not just talking. It's what Christ could do. No ring pass not could be a barrier to him. He always got through. So he could identify as the one behind the wall. At first you have the perceiver and the wall and the one who's there. And the Christ, Neptune, he flows through. Make two into one. However you figure you can do it. Everybody has their own way. Yeah, everybody.
Michael. Okay,
let's see. Actually, your questions and maybe Athena's too, I don't know. I can't answer all these things. I'll do the best I can.
Athena has written, telepathy will be the glory of the Aeon of Aquarius. And also, human race is telepathic and humanity is the basic tone of the Lord of the world.
Of the Lord of, yeah. Well, humanity is, yes. In the age of universality, which is what the age of Aquarius is. And by the way, Michael, I so appreciate the clarity of your speech. You're coming through in a way that even I can hear. So everybody must adopt that attitude. So I would agree with Athena. Telepathy will be the glory of the age of Aquarius. As for the basic tone, if you consider the throat center basic, is correct. And otherwise, humanity represents that throat center and the higher aspects of humanity represent the Ajna Center because they will be members of the new group of world servers. And when it comes to what Anne Veronica is saying, to merge with one, and let's just say that the two are not producing the one. The one is already there. Now that means something different, doesn't it, Anne Veronica? The oneness is already there, and the two-ness melts into it. I would say to be a successful esotericist, you've got to be on your way to discovering what identification is. And this is a perfect word of power for that, to merge with one. And the Christ is the great master of identification. Now I'm going to go back here a little bit.
I would like to add, regarding this AUM chart compiled by Brother Bailey, beginning at the bottom of page 185 in Cosmic Fire, there's a marvelous discussion about the centers and the senses.
Yes, that's correct, Michael. And then 188 right there. I mean, it goes on for a little while.
Right. But it's not just the chart, but there's a description of what's going on with the senses.
We have a lot to learn, and that's the kind of material that will be carefully studied in the Aquarian age. We study it a little bit, and we know a little. But one thing that each one of us could do is try to figure out what subplane of what plane we're really doing the majority of our work upon. Now, a person who's strictly emotionally polarized, they won't even bother. This is not for them. And a person who cannot rise into the abstract mind, this is not for them. They won't bother. So, you know, it takes a while. And it's slow going, but now it's going to speed up. And it, like DK says, the Lord Maitreya, the Christ, he made the fastest progress. But now there are some who are making progress, which is equally rapid as his. And so indeed, you do find Earth humanity, usually behind, way behind, already members of the hierarchy. Some have made the kind of progress that the Christ made. Now, the new group of world servers is a forcing focus. It's tough in that group. Pluto is dragging everything to the surface. You're not allowed to escape yourself and blame it on someone else. That's called projection. And lately, in the newspapers, they're not using that word projection. Nancy Pelosi uses that word, but they're calling it a self-own, O-W-N, a self-own, meaning you're saying it about someone else, but you're revealing yourself as you say it. So, okay. What was I talking about? Yeah, if the, then Vulcan. Taurus is ruled by Vulcan. When you get into that group, it's a pressure cooker. You're being forced from above, not just revealed from below. You're being forced from above like a hammer. The will is forcing its way into your personality. So it's not easy. DK says all the time, it's not easy to serve. You're giving up a lot of your own interests and the things you might prefer to do. Now that's, you know, that's not the same thing as expressing your soul. You know, a lot of people express their soul. Great. It's good. But then when Vulcan really, really applies the pressure, you know you're in the vice like this. Pluto, Vulcan, together. Every new group of world service type has to go through that. And if it's too much for you or for me, then we find something else we call spiritual. It's okay. Eventually, the time comes. And we will do it. You know what I mean? We will do it because it has to be done. And one is tired of waiting all those centuries to do it. So now let me add another thing. Courage. Courage. It will be required of members of the new group of world servers and of the true disciple. If we think that discipleship is an easy process to forfeit peace, to forego rest, to forfeit peace, and in the stress of pain, to lose myself and find myself, thus entering into peace. And that's precisely where I had to stop last time. It's a short thing. I tread upon the work I do. It's just tiny work. Get on with it. I mount upon my slain self. You think your personality is going to be happy all the time? No. So it doesn't get what it wants, but hey, it's used as a step ladder. You can go higher. I forego peace, the peace of the astral body. He says there's a kind of peace which is the tranquil astral body, which feels very comfortable. But you may be in a maelstrom, in a storm, and you still have to function. I forego peace, I forfeit rest. Well, when you come to one of these intensives, I guess we all forfeit rest. And Tuya seems to be the number one forfeiter at this point. If she would awaken, but no. And it's been like sometimes she would go like 2 hours a night for 3 weeks. I don't know. And in the stress of pain, because the personality doesn't like it, the personality loves trines and the soul loves squares. That's the old saying. I lose myself, unlike some of our presidents in whom go to Brazil, go to the US, go to the UK, when these characters look out at the field of consciousness, in the middle of it all is them. Very big. And there may be a little room around the edges for you. It's on the way to megalomania. And if you look at the Black Lodge, it's filled with megalomaniacs. But we don't have to emphasize that. Wait till they knock on your door, then you can think about it. I forfeit rest, and in the stress of pain, I lose myself, little self, and find my soul, what I really am, myself, and enter into peace. Then the Arcane School would add, to all this I most solemnly pledge myself, invoking my higher self. I play my part with stern resolve, with earnest aspiration. I look above, I help below, I dream not, nor I rest. I toil, I serve, I reap, I pray. I mount the cross, I tread the way, I tread upon the work I do, I mount upon my slain self. I forego peace, I forfeit rest, and in the stress of pain, I lose myself and find myself and enter into peace. Memorize that. Memorize that. Repeat it every day. When I joined the Arcane School 47 years ago, something like that, I repeated that every day, sometimes more than every day, more than once a day, because I just knew it was the way. If it looks like it's too much, then you have to question, am I an aspirant, a sincere aspirant, or am I becoming a real disciple? Now, the members of the new group of world servers, they could go with that. The members of the new group of world servers, they could go with this statement. They would not find it outrageous. It'd be okay. Are there any questions here in the room? Or now I'll also look in the great outer court.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
It's not a question, it's just perhaps some. Do you hear me clearly?
Yeah, do speak up. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Can you take this sign of Capricorn on the tree?
Okay, hold on. So I'm going to change over. I'm going to change over to.
That will mean that I'm soft, you're loud.
Okay?
So please repeat the question.
Yeah, just if you take this sign of Capricorn,
yes,
into the screen, then because Tuija mentioned in the first day of the week about the sign that it is veiling some secret behind.
Secret
during
soul.
During this festival week.
Yes.
It comes via the Capricorn constellation.
Yeah.
Make sure you speak loud enough.
And immediately when I Tuija told me, then it came to my mind that it is related to the last stanza of the last stanza of this great interrogation.
Ah,
this, that let love and light and power restore the plan on earth.
Well, you expect good things out of Capricorn no matter what. Finally. I wouldn't, you know, you've heard about this horrible guy that lives in Elena's town.
If you take that schedule of the week, then you have that...
I looked him up. His name was Count Vlad. And he, I guess, you might think of him as the father of acupuncture. But he was a Scorpio Capricorn guy. And you just didn't want to get in his way. Because he was probably one of the cruelest people that ever walked the earth. And the Capricorn, you know, made it like that. This is it though, right here. This is
can
it.
Can you get it?
You got it. No. This is it. These are the secrets. Right in front of
you. Okay, but I mean that if you take this sign in front of the sign itself.
He wants to see the sign of Capricorn.
Good luck.
That you're not going to find, I'm sorry to
I'm
say.
I'm not sure.
It's a different program.
No, him, but...
But in the, he says nobody knows.
Nobody knows. That's what you're trying to
except
say.
Except the...
To ask that question is...
Yeah, if I just...
It's nice to know, but...
Try to activate your intuition telepathy.
It was a finished by the project.
Very ambitious.
And he basically he put together the sign Leo and Aries, and
there
he said, and this is the glyph of Capricorn, he said.
Who is he?
And but he just said so.
Well, DK clearly said it's dangerous. Prematurely.
Yes.
Open.
More dangerous than the
open. Okay.
More dangerous than the open pentagram.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't speak anymore.
No, not right. There you go. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, I can't say.
Here it is.
Yeah, I started to think about that it is telling how this hierarchy's energy is coming to humanity, and humanity is then down there. And then it starts from this left side, and it comes down, and the peak down, the first peak down, I think it could be something like is presenting of Atlantis time. And in that time, then this hierarchy, they just hit the gloves on the table. Like we say in Finnish, that you put the Vörhanskat tiski.
Go down the gauntlet. This is what it's called in English.
Yeah, okay. Then, and that's why they have drawn back their energy for a long period, and now they have started to put it down again, and something there in down of the loop, I understand it is the situation where this masters gave these theosophical teachings through Blavatsky and Olcott.
Yes.
And then came these world wars, and then they have started to take the energy back again, but still then in the high point of the loop, it is something like 1945. And they have decided, okay, let's try again still. And now we are going then somewhere downward, so that the hierarchy energy is coming towards us stronger and stronger.
I see how you're doing it.
And when I see that first it started from left to right, it is then somehow representing the ideas how the Western languages are reading the text. And then from the other side, from right to left, it is some Eastern languages when they write from right to left. Yes. Then it is also somehow describing or giving idea that it is meant for the whole humanity.
Well, you see what you're doing is you're taking a symbol and what occurs to you, which are interesting thoughts, historical, linguistic, you're laying on the symbol. But here's the problem. The glyph of Capricorn is represented in a number of ways different from this.
Yes.
There's nothing authoritative about this representation.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah. So it is one thing.
it's a big, yeah. This would be, you see the symbol and certain interesting thoughts which are historical and, as you say, you know, having to do with the different languages, they occur to you. But they wouldn't fit with the other representations of Capricorn. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. But look, it's good practice. You know, here's a symbol. Yeah. Symbolic reading. As a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do sometime? There was a lady, a Dutch artist. Anyway, she was very refined. Very complex. She was just a super symbolist. And DK used her symbols to teach the people symbolism in the grammar book. So I'm going to bring out her drawings, must be one of them. You put them through to analyze those drawings. You know why? She was also a theosophist. And so we can get a good example of symbol reading from her. I think your example of symbol reading is quite good, given the symbol. The only trouble is, there's no guarantee.
Yeah, that I understand very well.
Yeah, yeah. The Finnish man, who put together basically it? Let's see if I can do this right. Yeah. Sorry.
When we are going now, or when the energies are coming down towards humanity, that's why this first last stanza we should repeat, that we could really get these energies down.
Yes, this one that has to do with humanity in particular. But this Finnish man, he takes the binaries like this. Okay. Then he takes Leo and puts the circle of Leo inside on the border of the crevice that is made in Aries. Then he straightens the lion out. He takes the lion's tail and straightens the tail. So now you have a diamond. You have a straight line, two of Aries, and one below. And he goes on to explain, as you have explained, his own interpretation of that. But what Elma said is important to realize. We are not given the glyph. Mm-hmm. Why? Now, I tell you what, I'm going to have to go back here.
Heard better. We're not given the glyph because it's more dangerous and more powerful than the broken pentagram. Why do they have unbroken pentagrams in magic? To keep them out. The unbroken pentagram keeps the negative energy. The broken pentagram is like a way in for the negative forces. So remember, Capricorn rules hell as well as heaven. So when you're dealing with these really rough Capricorn people, like Stalin, he had a lot of it, and Count Vlad, he had more, and some of the huge conquerors in the history of humanity, they have Capricorn, you know? And they use it in a very cruel way, oftentimes. So we have to be careful with that sign. That's all. Now, one day we'll know what this is. The rest is, it's good exercise interpretation. That's fine. It's just fine to interpret. Now, let me go over here to... You want to say, and loud? Sorry.
I would have, not that I'm going to carry on with it, that there is a cosmology. Cosmology also involved in this process, to my understanding. That's why we even, you know, that there is high constellation, constellation of energy which is entering. The Capricorn energy. There is one of the clues, you know, to the story also. You know, when he says 1975, augmentation coming from the higher constellation. I feel that there is some part of not, we need to first discover and be sure that what is that, but it's not the only thing.
No. We have to practice
symbolical
reading. And if you were a member of the second C group, the observers of reality, your very first training was symbol reading. Because the whole world is a symbol. And if you want to get to the reality behind it, then we have to know how to do that. Now, we have to take a break because there's another webinar coming up and we have to change our link. If you want to come back, folks, we're continuing kind of a gathering of folks. We're taking a look ahead of time a little bit about the new group of world servers in relation to the United Nations. Just a little bit. And then we'll continue with that. I have a feeling, just a feeling at this point, that Christ's headquarters, when he returns, is meant to be the United Nations. That is my estimation, a second-rate town, New York, with the third-rate problem, getting two and three together, and a sixth-rate planetary center. What were the rays of the Christ? DK gives them to us. You know them? I'll give you...
Can you say that again, please?
What are the rays of the Christ?
No, the second ray you go and the third ray is...
Third ray personality of you. And the sixth ray, it's the sixth ray planetary center. Okay? The Christ rays are, according to the Tibetan, the second ray soul, a sixth ray personality, a first ray mind, the red letter version of the Bible, right? And then, of course, it's obvious, a second ray astral body, and obvious, a seventh ray physical body, and obvious, a second ray monad. His rays are, and he's Libra and Pisces.
Pisces have to be there. Pisces with the polarity Christ child would have to be prominent.
Well, you know, Pisces, that decade belongs to him. Just like Scorpio belongs to Hercules, and Taurus belongs to the Buddha. See, the thing that Matthew D.K. tries to have us do is not draw our conclusions too fast. You know, because we can say, oh, that's it. But then he comes in, new information, you know? And maybe we have to understand that the Christ is the Prince of Peace. He has the perfectly balanced endocrine system. He's the only one who does. So right there, we have the very archetype of Libra. Under the teaching of the Spirit of Peace, who is a great second ray being who surrounds him. Avatar of Synthesis, Spirit of Peace, Buddha, Christ in the middle. So, okay. Now you will take 15 minutes and I'll try to get things ready for our next webinar, which will be a continuation of discussion of this and that. So folks, the next webinar you should have what it is. Let's see, it's the same. Okay, this starts at 1:50 and we're late, of course. Well, maybe not too bad as I thought. Okay. So, edit. Okay, so we end with a six. And let's see. No. So definitely, friends, we need to change our rate. So do that. Go away for 15 minutes if you want to continue with us. And we'll start a different webinar. Okay, everybody else can go have some coffee or something.